freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
I can't believe we are on to our last final draft profile. Brock has gone through a tremendous number of these. And really, as usual, Brock, yeoman's work, really kind of helping me understand what's available in the draft, helping me form a lot of my opinions on what I'd like the Seahawks to do once we get not only to tomorrow, but through the rest of the weekend as well. So thank you for all of your hard work. And I know it's great because you get a lot of the inside knowledge of people you've seen, been around, talked to coaches about. And so without further ado, this is the one of ones. It's Brock's final draft profile.
The Seattle Seahawks select.
This is Brock Huard's draft profile.
But you want traits? Check. You want a vocal leader? Check.
At the end of the day, you have to say, okay, what's best for the organization?
Can you make people around you better? And can you bring people together?
Every day at 9 a.m. leading up to the draft.
Well, he's Bump's number one. He's my number one. He's been my number one this entire process. This is no Johnny come lately onto the scene. All of a sudden, I fall in love with this guy. I'm enamored with him. No, Troy Fautanu, the offensive lineman from the University of Washington. I said it in the fall. I said it in the winter. I'm saying it in the spring. Would be the ideal fit for your Seattle Seahawks. He is 6'4". I mean, the measurables tell you one thing. 6'4", 317. Where I think he shocked people, Salk, and I don't know what he did with all of his Polynesian family members stretching him out before that combine, but he stretched out to 34.5-inch arms. The thought going into the 2024 season, as you looked at Mel Kiper and all the guys' draft boards, Todd, Daniel Jeremiah, who I texted after he put his out, I'm like, bro, where's Troy Fautanu? This dude was a game wrecker as a redshirt junior, decided to come back for his fifth year. He's like, well, most of the guys I talk to think he's a guard. He's a guard. He's not long enough to be a tackle. 34.5, long enough to be a tackle. The guards and centers are 31.5. And that's why they've got to slide in. With his kind of length, he can block the best of the best, which he did. He ran a 5.01. He was disappointed, he told us. He wanted to be in the 4.9s. And when you jump 33 inches, as he did at the combine, and you move as effortlessly, I was kind of surprised he wasn't in the 4.9s. It really doesn't matter. He's going to be a first-round pick. He's going to be a top 15 kind of talent. Is he sitting there on the board for you at 16? I sure hope so. Mina Kimes joined Bump and Stacey yesterday, kind of echoes the exact same sentiment. She's not talking about those measurables. She's talking about the fit for the Seahawks.
My personal favorite would be Troy Fautanu, because I just think it's such a perfect marriage of need on the interior of the offensive line, the positional versatility. We'll see, you know, what's going on with Abe Lucas at right tackle is also valuable. I think he's super pro-ready, polished, just incredible athlete. I would love that for them.
Banking 18 years, Salky, on the road as I have of college football, watching, I don't know, too much tape in my life. There's certain things your eye gets used to seeing, and then there's certain things where you're like, that's just different. I don't understand that. Let me rewind that back. Whoa. And with Troy, that's what jumps out. He doesn't wear knee braces. He doesn't wear tape. He doesn't wear ankle braces. The first guy for me in my life who was like that was Chad Brown. When Chad Brown, the outside linebacker DN, came from the Steelers to the Seahawks, dude wore no pads. He wore shoulder pads and helmet. That was it. No thigh pads, no knee pads, no ankle braces, no tape, no nothing. I mean, he was just an absolute warrior. And Troy Fautanu is the same way. The only lineman, and this is high esteem now, and this is why he's number one on my list, the only lineman in person that I have seen move with 320 pounds at 6'4 that way is Walter Jones. I mean, Walter was an athlete. Walter ran 4.5 at Florida State, and he ran 4.7. And then when he was 350 pounds, he still beat me in a 40-yard race coming off of, you know, winter break. I mean, he's just a different, he's just a different caliber of athlete. Troy Fautanu is a volleyball player that happens to play offensive tackle. And oh, by the way, that's all the stuff on the field. Let's talk about the dude off the field. When we asked him, how are you so nasty? Yet you sit with us here, and you are so nice. Here were his words.
You know, when I roll up my pants and roll up my jersey and have the stomach showing out, I think I turn into a different person. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. It's just, for me, on the field, like, I've learned from Coach Huff the past 5 years. I mean, I felt like I've always had that, like, you know, that want to, like, put somebody on their back. So I got to watch my language. But yeah, like, there's got to be a want there. And I have that want every day that I play football, you know what I mean? Especially on Saturdays when you're going against someone that's not wearing, you know, your colors.
I love that.
It's a mindset thing. I feel like you either you have it or you don't.
Don't cut Troy off.
Yeah, he's got it. I love what Klatt said to us the other day about, hey, man, I can have my opinion. Talk to the dudes in the league. Talk to the Morris Trophy Award guys that vote on that on the defensive side, and there was no question. Talk to Jake Dickert on the other side of the mountains. Remember his comment before the Apple Cup? This is the best lineman I've ever seen. That's what I'm talking about. Like, when you watch the tape and you're just like, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be a little stiff. You're supposed to have knee braces on. You're supposed to not be smooth. Some of these different humans, man. Jonathan Ogden, when I played against him at UCLA, pregame, walked by him on the field. I'm like, not a human. Justin Barnes, you make fun of me earlier in the show when everything is about, you know, my eye test and everything. This is why. Like, I've walked by these creatures. Jonathan Ogden was like 7 foot in his helmet. You know, I mean, he was just a huge, massive athlete. You're around these guys that are just different. Walter and Hutch and the way they moved. Maybe Steve Hutchinson, to be honest with you, is a better comp than Walt. Walt was even a little bit bigger. I think Walt's 6'5", and I think Steve Hutchinson would be the better comp. And you watch Steve Hutchinson move, and you watch, same thing. He didn't wear knee braces, big, broad shoulder, powerful caveman. It's like a caveman that plays like an athlete, like a basketball player. That's Troy Fautanu, man. And if he's sitting there at 16, my firm belief is they want to trade down. My firm belief is they want to add size and bulk. My firm belief is they want to build the line of scrimmage, and they would love to trade down. But my goodness gracious, if Troy Fautanu's there at 16 and they take him, I will fist bump Bumpus so hard. I won't mess with Wyman and Bob. They hate that. But I will fist bump Bump, and he's going to fist bump me right back, and we're going to be like two Monday Night Football helmets back in the day when they did the pregame and they just exploded onto the scene because he's that kind of dude and that kind of fit for these Seahawks.
Well, that's a final draft profile. Disappointing, Brock. I'll have to take it off of our daily show sheet now because I do love all the draft profiles every day at 9 o'clock. And
don't take it off because tomorrow we'll do like 10.
Okay. You're going to kind of bang through a few of them.
Yeah, tomorrow, okay, tomorrow you're just going to rattle. Like, I'm going to do, you know what? We'll do a pitch count.
You could kind of even pitch do clock. It, to be honest, kind of do one on Friday too of like what you're looking at for the third round. I mean, or maybe the second round, depending on what they
do. Yeah, we can do that. But tomorrow, pitch clock, same time, you're going to give me, I'm going to get 9 minutes to get 9 guys.
Okay.
And you're just going to throw some names at me that have been on these boards that maybe I haven't covered quite yet.
Okay. I kind of like that idea. Yeah, absolutely. So,
and at 8:30 tomorrow, we're going to open the phone lines.
That sounds like less work for me. I'm going to be like Bump. I just show up.
And at 8:30 tomorrow, we're going to open up the phone lines. We had the 7:30 callers that were absolutely brilliant.
Hey, did I tell you I heard from Adam, our guy?
Don't give it away. Maybe he can call in tomorrow.
Well, he's already tweeted at us. It's already his plan is out there. Our guy, Adam.
So more in Justin background context. Give it to him.
This is 2012. The Seahawks had the, 14th pick, whatever it was. And we were asking the people what the Seahawks would do with it. Mm-hmm. And nobody knew. Everybody took, essentially wild guesses.
Oh, you love. This is when you started to fall in love with names.
Right. Quinn Coples and all these guys that we were talking about that year. Melvin Ingram. And only one person got it right. The only person that we talked to who knew that the Seahawks were going to take Bruce Irvin, probably the only person in America that ever heard of Bruce Irvin other than John Schneider, was our guy Adam. I forget where Adam is from, but he's Adam Householder is his name. He has the world's greatest Twitter handle, Adam Householder at I Don't Hold Houses. How great is that? I love Adam. He's one of my, I follow That's him funny. On Twitter. He's one of my favorites.
Bruce Irvin, pick 15, by
pick
the way.
15, pick 15. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I Don't Hold Houses, Adam Householder. Tweeted out a couple days ago. Boys, here's my take. Ultimately, my favorite quarterback prospect in this draft is Drake May. If he's there, which obviously he won't be, Seahawks should pounce. Aside from that, my three targets at number 16 are number one, Johnny Newton.
Okay.
Number two, Cooper DeJean. Number three, he's covering his bases. Troy Fautanu. I know. Gasp. I got to tell you, Johnny Newton, cool. I mean, like, if that's the direction they go, fine. I would think you could probably trade back and still get him, but okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Number two, Cooper DeJean. If they get a safety or a corner at that pick, a guy who plays that far away from the ball, I'm walking out. I am walking out. It's not that I don't think he'll be a good player, but that is not what you should be doing at the number 16 pick this year. Now, maybe if you trade back, we could have that conversation, but even still, that would probably bother me. And then number 3 is Troy Faltano. So there you go. Adam, I don't hold houses. That's his view for this year. You can mark it down. We'll ask you guys that same question tomorrow. We'll come right back with everything you need to know. It is Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710SeattleSports.com.
The Mariners are all about giving you more baseball for your buck. With Mariners Value Games, you can snag seats for as little as $10 to select games all season long. To get your tickets and check out the complete Mariners Value Game schedule, go to mariners.com/valuegames.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
At Cantor Diamond, we're fourth-generation diamond importers, saving you big on your diamonds. By appointment in our Tacoma office and globally by text and email, CantorDiamond.com or on Instagram, K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond.
If you haven't been getting the white glove treatment, you deserve better. I'm Tia from Tycor Title, and we'll give you top-tier service, a smooth process, and consistent results every time. So trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to MyTycor.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
You know what you want to do? When you're in Texas and you've struggled there and lost all 8 games in their building last season,
eat
get
barbecue.
Off to a quick start, maybe after eating a little barbecue.
And Cal did that. It is on the way and it's flying toward home, swinging a fly ball into right field and deep. Garcia going back, looking up, and goodbye baseball! Into the lower deck in right field. Hot hitting Cal Raleigh with his 6th home run of the season, and it puts the Mariners on top 2-0. Here in the top of the first inning.
Got to throw a little props to my guy Brock, who before the series said he would like to see Cal kind of continue to do his thing the way he had in both Colorado and in Toronto and make Texas his home for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And he started that process yesterday. In the meantime, Julio hit his first home run of the season. Everyone's been waiting for it. And I kind of said yesterday, like, you know, he's starting to show some signs with the contact and the home runs will probably follow. Mm-hmm. They did. Scott was happy.
I think he was going to hit a homer this year. So, it'd been a while, obviously. But he smoked that ball. He was right on it. He's had a good trip. He's picked it up. He's being aggressive. He's getting ahead of the bat out. He's hitting the ball in the air. So a lot of good things there. He's been grinding. It's starting to come together for him. And he'll hit another homer, too.
Let's hope.
Yesterday, such a great game. Such a sports talk radio game, honestly. Which way do you want to go? Which tentacle do you want to attack? Logan Gilbert? Julio Rodriguez? Cal Raleigh? Elite defense? Beating Texas in their new building for the first time in over a year? Didn't get it done? I mean, there's so many cool stories to that thing. And Cal Raleigh, by the way, with 6 home runs, you know what he's on pace for? 42. 42 home runs. So started a little bit slow. The whole offense did with some of the power. But
I think
you said,
Julio's on pace for 6.
Good math. I had to do 162 times 6 divided by 23 to get to 42.
Of course.
But your math was a little easier and simpler. And either way, man, such a great, great story. A first win in that building. Didn't get one last season. Go get another one. Go win this series, and you'll have a great chance with Bryce and La Pietra.
Yeah, that's a nice way to go. Bryce will get it done today. I am a little curious, Brock. You brought it up earlier, whether or not we might see Mitch Garver catch at some point in this series in his former home building. Something kind of maybe worth watching today or tomorrow.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All eyes tomorrow are certainly going to be on the draft, of course, tomorrow afternoon, and you know, a lot of options for the Seahawks. We've kind of been running through them. A lot of talk about Troy Faltano, who you just mentioned, Brock, Michael Penix. So two Washington guys certainly in the running for that number 16 pick. And then you've got your defensive players, Verse, Latu, Murphy, you name it. I thought Bump was a little dismissive of the defensive options. What did you think?
I mean, flat out mean. I never mess with defenders. You see, he's a pretty boy out there on the outside. Right. He's got corners to deal with. When you're a QB and you've got the monsters to deal with.
Antagonize guys like Jared Verse is a car wreck waiting to happen.
Do you know how funny it was? Honestly. Do you know how funny it was to sit there the night before the game and especially with the Seahawks, really close O-line, and just listen to those guys like, dude, whatever you do, do not piss off John Randall.
Right.
Okay? Whatever you do, do not, like, Chester, do not get Chester mad. Do not hit him after the whistle. Like, just keep those guys. Let's be on the level with those guys.
All right. Well, you know? Then let me give you a stat to put in Bump's camp. This was from Hembo, who's the producer there at ESPN for Greenberg Show. Get up.
Yep. Yep.
And he does a lot of stats-based stuff. He took that same formula we were talking about earlier in terms of hit rate based on percentage you get more in the second contract. And over the 2000 to 2019 seasons, you know what the three positions with the best hit rate are? First-round picks?
Defense.
Number one, center. 11 hits, one miss.
Wow.
Number two, tackle. 38 hits, 26 misses, 59%. Number three, guard. 14 and 14, 50%.
Wow. Wow.
Those were your three highest hit rates for first-round picks.
First round, you want Nordstrom's. Later rounds, go to Costco.
After that, by the way, the list goes linebacker, quarterback, edge, and defensive tackle, all at 40% or above. Below 40%, cornerback, receivers, running back, safety, tight end, dead last. Wide receiver at 27%.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
I love the Caitlin
Clark
story.
Hold on one second. Just pause real quick. Hold on one second.
All right, yeah.
Can you tell me how that was quantified, by the way, how he determined hits and misses?
The players signed second contracts with the team that – just percentage of players that signed second contracts with the team that drafted them.
With the team that drafted them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Fair enough.
Pretty interesting.
Okay.
Again, it's not a perfect formula. There is no perfect formula, but it's a good, quick, and dirty way of looking at it. Congratulations to Caitlin Clark. She's $28 million richer today after signing an 8-year deal with Nike that will include a signature shoe. That's just awesome. And she's not the first. Sabrina Ionescu has that. And I was actually just looking at the shoes. They are pretty sweet. I kind of like them.
Sabrina's?
Yeah. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
What are your kids? Do your kids wear those?
That's a good question. I think they just wear the team issued stuff.
Okay.
They were big Kobe fans. I know my girls in high school love wearing Kobe
shoes.
They
love the Kobes.
They love the Kobes. And you also got to love that Caitlin Clark's jersey sales, by the way. I believe I read this right. More than all the Cowboys combined last year.
I saw that. I wasn't sure if that was real or if somebody was just messing with the Cowboys. But regardless, that was pretty crazy.
America's
and pretty impressive.
Team, America's lady.
Yeah, no, she is. Forget America's team. She's actually popular. Maybe because she's good. Like the Cowboys, she actually delivers. So with that, I thought I would play you this. Maura brought this up yesterday, this Tom Brady quote. Have you heard this? Brady on this, was this on a podcast here, talking about the problems with today's young athletes?
I think the biggest problem with a lot of kids these days, all about them. All about them, their brand, their social media. And then when it's about me and then not about us, well, there's no way to succeed as a team. If all you're doing is thinking about how selfish it is for you to get the attention.
It's cool to show the world how great you are, but the most inspiring thing is how great you can make others.
That's the point of life, is what we could do. How do you help other people finish the race, not just you?
Well, and so I guess Brady was getting some grief because people were like, oh, well, you have TB12. And it's like, well, yeah, he did that 10 years into his career.
Correct.
After winning however many Super Bowls at the beginning, Brady didn't take any endorsements. And when he finally took one with Visa, he did it with his offensive line together. That being said, and I think he makes some good points in there, I would not put Caitlin Clark into that category.
No, you've seen the way she's handled all that. Most importantly, how her teammates have handled her.
Also, she's got, this is a different opportunity for her, right? I mean, like, she, for her to do this allows a whole nother generation of other women's athletes to do it also, assuming she has success.
Yes. I think Tom Brady is referring to, what was that QB from TCU that came to the Seahawks?
Oh, yes. I know you mean. I'm blanking on his name. The little running quarterback who was an undrafted free agent.
Had his own apparel line?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
King. Oh, gosh. It's just awful.
I mean, you don't think he's talking about Russell Wilson?
To a degree. I mean, Russell, too, would also say, hey, hold on a second. Like, I won a Super Bowl. I went to a second Super Bowl.
I
like,
know, but all he that also, stuff remember, Russ was working on his brand before he'd even started a game. You and I were talking about it.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, good stuff. That's everything you need to know. Oh, and the story that apparently people think is a big deal. I guess it is. Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman back. Yeah, is that a big deal to you?
Oh, way to go, Reggie.
Is that a big thing? Is that a big story?
Is that a big story? I don't think it's a big story. Okay. I think it's kind of doing right, though. I mean, all the rampant cheating and everything going on in all of college football at that time.
I got to tell you, I was sitting around really worried about Reggie, though, and really hoping he got that. Yeah, I mean, that's been losing a lot of sleep over the unfairness of it all and really hoping that Reggie finally got his Heisman back. So that's because I really felt like he had lost it.
So guess what I get to do in like 15 minutes?
What's that?
I get to do a ranking. About 20 minutes,
about 20,
actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 20 minutes.
Yeah, today's your ranking.
I get to do a ranking. And, you know, this, you know, it's been fun about this. Here's a, you could call it a humble brag. I don't really care.
I mean,
it's been really fun to do all these national hits talking about these Husky players. This is like the most ever, you know, whether it's Atlanta or Chicago or these teams and talking about them. And I'm just reminded, and I was just doing one early this morning to an Atlanta station because they got pick number 9 and asking about Roma Dunze, and there's or 8, and there's rumors about Penix and they love Penix and all this stuff. And I'm reminded yet again, this is not only the greatest group of players on the field, these are the greatest grouping of human beings we've had. And I get to rank them. Somehow I've got to pick my favorites amongst all my kids, and I'm going to do that.
Looking forward to that. Let me also play you some Bert Brewer sound on exactly what you just mentioned, Brock. It's all coming up in the final half hour of Brock and Salk next on Seattle Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
If you haven't been getting the white glove treatment, you deserve better. I'm Tia from Tycor Title, and we'll give you top-tier service, a smooth process, and consistent results every time. So trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to mytycor.com.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. The only professional office for diamonds and diamond jewelry. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email. BestDiamondPrice.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
Massive, the power of pop culture, is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from artists Beyonce, Nirvana, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
This is the kind of triumphant music I'm going to want tomorrow after I beat Moore in our 200-meter race. Yep, that's what I'm going to need. Yep. A little triumphant strut afterwards as I'm trying not to vomit and have hopefully beaten Mora in this race. I will
You want me to hold you up like Simba?
That would be great. The one thing I will declare without any doubt tomorrow, I think I'm going to win this race. There, I'm allowing for the possibility that Mora beats me, obviously. The one thing I can guarantee you with this race tomorrow, and Justin can confirm, there is a 0% chance tomorrow that we rank races. It will not happen. I will guarantee you that right now with the race tomorrow, there is a 0.0% chance that that's what we
I started going down that rabbit hole last night.
Yeah.
Jerry was a race car driver. And I was like, let's not do this.
You just decided there was not enough upside in that.
Not
just
like,
you know, remember when Graz played
I was just about to pull that up for you, Brock. I knew that you would want to hear that.
When Graz played the race card on our show,
it really wasn't nice when he did it. The Graz playing the race card in his battle against Jerry Brewer.
I'm very disappointed because my plan was to play the race card.
Jeez.
I think let me say this for the record. I think that Jerry Brewer is one of the few guys in town that I might be able to beat in a race.
That was during the old Brock and Salk media bracket when the Graz was matched up against Jerry Brewer, and he was willing to play the race card. How about that?
We got to bring that thing back, man.
You think so?
We do. You remember how vicious stuff got?
Things seem to be fun then. I don't know. Think people are too angry now. With social media and everything else, everyone's gotten too angry. There's too many cabals and alliances and everything else. Like, I just don't think it would work as well as it once did, unfortunately. But it was a fun time when we did it. All right, tomorrow is the draft, Brock.
Yep.
And we've kind of debated, I feel like at this point, virtually every potential scenario for the Seahawks and what they should do and could do at 16. And it's funny, is this the time these last couple of days where you believe the least of what you hear or the most? Is this when those guys are getting like the best information or the worst information? I don't know. Here's what you heard from Albert Breer yesterday regarding the Seahawks.
Another team to monitor with that would be Seattle at 16. Ryan Grubb, who is the offensive coordinator at Washington, is there now as the offensive coordinator. Obviously, he's worked with Penix the last couple of years. You know, Michael Penix has really helped himself, you know, over the course of this process. And I know the coaches getting involved has really helped him too. Seems like a great kid. Obviously, he's got a great story. He's been through a lot. And, you know, I think being able to withstand a lot, like, has really endeared him to a lot of these teams. The medical is the medical. So you're going to have to sort through that. Each team's doctor is probably going to have a little bit of a different take on that. He's not the biggest bodied guy. So, like, that raises another layer, you know, on top of the medical questions that you already have. But I think the likelihood now is that he goes in the top half of the first round, something I certainly wouldn't have guessed 2 months ago.
So that's two people in 1 or 2 days, Brock, saying, Seahawks and Michael Penix, because Mark Dominic said something similar to us.
Oh, there's a lot of people. Yeah, I think you're feeling that vibe a lot. I
didn't mean to say they were the only two, but certainly they are two. Is that because it's silly season and they're trying to, you know, throw everybody off their scent? Or is there some reality there?
No, I don't think it's silly season. I think the one thing that cuts through all of it is you get closer to this hour, and we're 30-some hours away. When you get closer to it, the quarterbacks get spotlighted. The quarterbacks get elevated. The quarterbacks, like the Simba cam, get picked up and put in positions they frankly shouldn't be in sometimes, and way, way overdrafted. The league's gotten smarter in some of that regard, but when you've got a lean class the following year, when Shedeur Sanders is supposedly the number one QB in next year's class and went 4-8 this year and the team kind of fell off the cliff, like, really? Compared to this group of winners and guys that have elevated and guys that have won Heismans and second in the high, like, no. So I think that's what naturally kind of occurs as we get to the witching hour? What is the witching hour, by the way?
The witching hour is what Scott Hansen calls that time at the end of all of the early games.
Okay.
Right? As all the early games are coming to a close and you get all the great comebacks and everything at once, that's what he calls the witching
that's
hour.
What he calls
when
the
losses
witching
become
hour.
Wins and wins become losses.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Thank you to the 509 saying, don't worry, Salk. They'll play that music in the ambulance for you as they're taking you to the hospital after the race. My gosh. You guys are just brutal. You really have just been nasty.
Even Pastor Steve up there in Bothell Canyon Hills, he kind of weighed in. He wants more to run it in her PJs and slippers. And he's really afraid.
I think she's still going to beat me because interesting.
Could you imagine?
Well, I'd like to remind
last,
all of you.
The last 15, 20 meters, Morris so far ahead that she turns around and backpedals across the finish line.
Oh, my gosh. That would just be humiliating. Here's all I'm going to say. You know what it is today? Today is Passover. It's a day for my people, okay? Passover is a sacred week here. And it was however many years ago that my people ran as fast as they could to bake all of their bread. But they didn't have time. The thing couldn't rise. They had to eat matzah. They couldn't let the bread rise. They had to escape in the middle of the night before Pharaoh changed his mind. So let it be written. So let it be done. We took off, man. We crossed the Red Sea. We bolted across before those waves come crashing back down and take the Israelites out, man. This is a week for my people. This is the time, Maura, and you've messed with the wrong guy at the wrong time.
So let it be written.
I'm a woman. We're prepared to run from danger at any time.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a pretty good point. All right. Let me play
you go Old Testament biblical.
Well, I have to.
I mean, you get me. You just.
I get you. That's what gets you.
That's
of all the things.
That's what gets my water moving right there.
Let me play you some Adam Schefter. Maybe he'll give an opinion here. Let's see.
Yeah, there's been some speculation, right or wrong. You never know exactly how accurate it is, that the Falcons like Penix. They've had workouts with him. They've had visits with him. They spent a lot of time. And the one thing I do know is that the Falcons do want to add a quarterback in this draft if they can. That would be ideal. And do I think 8 is going to be the spot they take Penix? I'd be surprised, but I don't rule anything out. If they wind up moving back and their team that moves back in the first round, well, that makes it more possible. And then you factor in the tampering charges that you asked about. You know, if they're losing a pick, let's just call it a mid-round pick, I'm guessing here. Maybe you wait another year to draft a quarterback then because you figure you want to get them more help this year.
Oh, there you go. Adam Schefter going out on a limb, Brock.
And didn't they just pay Kirk Cousins a lot of money? I know he's coming back from an Achilles, and, you know, it's going to be a little problematic, and there's no guarantees. Mm-hmm. They just paid him. And I guess that's where coming back to Penix, too, and that Burt Breer sound, and taking Mark Dominic yesterday and some of his sound and swinging for a quarterback and everything else. I really felt like, and maybe this is wrong. Maybe this will be proven totally wrong come tomorrow if Penix is there at 16. But I just felt like at the time when they swung for Sam Howell, had Sam gone to L.A., right? Had he gone to Denver? Had he gone to one of the three or four other teams that were all interested in trading for him? Today is wildly different.
But don't you have to at least go back and think about the year in 2012 when right before the draft or soon before the draft, they signed Matt Flynn to that 3-year deal and everybody thought the same thing. All right, the Seahawks have their quarterback. They're not going to go get one now. And what did they do? A couple weeks later, they went out and got Russell Wilson, started him over Matt Flynn, and the rest was history. So I don't know. I mean, I think that was
third round. True. That was John having to stand on a table. That was finally John declaring, sorry, Pete,
true,
I am doing this because I believe this
strongly.
But they
paid a lot more for Matt Flynn than they did for Sam Howell.
Oh, absolutely.
So that kind of cuts both ways, doesn't it?
100%. They picked up Geno's option, right? They picked up the second part of that. Geno's going to be here. So, you know, I think between Geno and Sam, I think that's where you get a little lost, or some of these folks can get a little lost by some of the words leading up to it. What have been the actions? What have been the actions of the last few months? The actions of the last few months were the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins and made him their guy, and he's a perfect fit in their system. And the actions of the Seahawks were to pick up Geno's first and to pick up his second option and to trade for Sam. Like, because they can read the room, because they have a better feel of the projection of where this thing may go.
I mean, I think you're probably right about that. If I had to bet, they're not going to take Penix, even if he's available at 16. But I'll be real interested if they do. Yeah. I'll be real fascinated if they do, because that will mean that John believes in him. And that obviously is a pretty exciting idea.
Yes, because when he believes and has that conviction for quarterback, we know those names in retrospect. We know why he went to Laramie, Wyoming, and really ticked off Russ, and really ticked off his agent, and really ticked off his people. And he really didn't care, because he thought that highly of Josh Allen if things would have fallen in that draft. And then he went to Lubbock, Texas, and he really fell in love, just like Andy Reid did, two guys that grew up in the Green Bay incubator and knew what it's supposed to look like and supposed to feel like. And this guy goes and throws in 40-mile-an-hour winds in West Texas outside and cuts through it instead of taking the easy and let me throw indoors. And he really loved Mahomes. And had that fallen, and Patrick Mahomes fallen to 25 that year, they'd have taken him. I take John at his word with that. He said, you just watch after the fact. But you just watch. If he's sitting there at 25, we're going to take him, because he had that kind of conviction. And if that is Penix at 16, you're absolutely right, man. His eye has been pretty good in the past, and would sure be fun for everybody here in town. What were you chuckling at? You get a good little text?
Well, Moore just sent this over from JPA Football. Rumors the Giants like Penix so much, they could take him as high at number 6, according to Dan Graziano. So we'll see whether he's even available for them. But again, the more quarterbacks that go early, the more good players are going to drop to the Seahawks. And if one of the quarterbacks does drop down to them at 16, maybe they're in the catbird seat to try to nab someone like that. Now, we have had some texts. Who sent this one over? Matt in Oregon. Passover is going to be at about 60 meters when Mora passes over Salk and never looks back. That's not very nice. Can someone tell Moses to just calm down there? Let Salk go.
Yeah, you got the rain tomorrow. You could part the sea there on the track. You could have a little puddle you got to cut
through. I may go part the Montlake Cut right before the race.
Taylor says we need to know if you're the firstborn son.
I am, unfortunately. That's not good news on Passover. There's a lot of firstborn son issues. But Taylor should also know that my Hebrew name is Moshe, which means that this is a pretty good week for me. This is kind of my big week. as a Moshe, which is the same Hebrew name as Moses. So it's kind of a big week for me, Brock.
I thought Moshe meant run like the wind.
No, it means from the river, but hey, whatever. Basically the same thing. Run like the wind, from the river, same thing. Yeah. Christopher Cross, I think.
I need an extra minute. Let's go. Let me rank.
You want the whole extra now, minute? Brock's ready to start ranking. Let's do it.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
I don't know what the audience is for this joke, but 206 says four questions for tomorrow. Why on this day did Salk lose tomorrow? Yes, Manish Tanah Halayla Hazeh. Thank you, 206. Brock, you're doing the ranking today.
Yeah, and today I am ranking my five favorite Huskies in this draft. And this is hard, man. This is hard because this is a big family. This could be the biggest draft class in Husky football history. I believe a bunch of my peers back in 1998, the year before I got drafted, we had 11. I want to say that's the most in program history. They've got a chance to tie that. I don't know if they're going to break that, but they're certainly going to have some top-end talent, and that Husky brand is going to be all over the Motor City. So let me give you a few honorable mentions. Because I could actually get to my five, and moving around my five was a little hard, but some honorable mentions.
Important to do.
Uh-huh. You like honorable mentions?
I do. I mean, it's an important part of ranking.
Dylan Johnson, man, what he gave this year, gave of his body, gave of his heart, gave of his soul. He just grew on me, and I think the Husky faithful as the season went on. Huge runs in big moments, playing through injury. I wish he'd have hopped off.
Is he going to get drafted?
I wish he'd have hopped off the field, but that's for another day. I've already done that rant. If he does, it'd be like seventh round.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a late round. Didn't run particularly well, but physical guy, some injury history, probably seventh to undrafted. But Dylan Johnson just got a soft spot. 1,000-yard rusher, complimented that team in the second half of the season, did an awesome job. Jack Westover, probably in that same boat. Late round pick, six-year guy, Mount Si, local boy.
I bet you he's an interesting pro.
You know what? He'd be really interesting to me here in Seattle in the sixth or seventh round.
Or even honestly, if he goes undrafted, just signing locally. He's an interesting kind of player, I think.
You know what? I think he gets drafted. I think there will be too much interest in him late, sixth, seventh round.
Just as a pass catching type.
Yeah, and Ryan Grubb is going to get on that table and say the same thing to his team that he said to me in our production meeting. Dude's got the best hands on the team.
Right.
I was like, hold on a second. Before I quote you on the air with that, there's a guy named Roma Dunze, there's Jalen McMillan, there's Jalen Paul.
Right.
Guy's got the best hands on our team. And when you watched him make big catch after big catch, hard catch, went up in the air, one-handed catch. That dude is just and you want to talk about a third tight end that can block a little bit but catch incredibly well in this system? Keep an eye on Jack Westover, honorable mention for me.
Play special teams?
Can play a little bit of special teams. Probably not like super terrific, but he could do that well enough. Dom Hampton, I love number sevens. He had a great combine. Because of his combine, because he ran 4.5, his game tape was not 4.5. His game tape at times felt more 4.7, especially in space. But running 4.5 and coming up and whacking you, that is always a priority. Finding guys that have a willingness to hit and no governor for violence is going to be a good thing for Dom, and I just love that he wore number 7. Okay, that's enough honorable mentions. Let me get to my ranking.
Well, top 5 already.
Top 5, that's what
early.
I do.
Early, okay.
It's a little early, but right. I've got some sound to back it
daring.
Up.
Daring.
Huh? Take a risk.
Okay.
That's what I do.
Appreciate that.
Number 5 on my list, and the only defender on my list. So to old Bumpus's point about Nordstrom's versus Costco, a lot more Nordstrom's in this Husky class than Costco. But if there is a great USDA prime option, his name is Braylon Trice. I love Braylon Trice. Profiled him earlier. I don't know how he fits here in Seattle. Going to be probably a late second to third round pick just because he doesn't have all the memorables or measurables. He's got a lot of memorable plays. Not particularly long, not particularly twitchy. Ran 4.7, 6.3, 250, good size. But Salk, at every turn the last 2 years, a struggling Husky defense that gave up a lot of yards, when they needed a big play, who was all around it? Who was all over it? It was number 8. He's got a nose for the football. Last year, I believe he led the country in pressures. It was him and Will Anderson. I mean, just freak show, crazy kind of stats and numbers. Over the last 2 years, I don't think anybody in college football has had as many combined pressures as Breland Trice over those 28 games played. Durable, available, knows for the football, in a motor that never, ever, ever stops. And made some huge plays, including the Sugar Bowl, where the offense was a lot of the story, but his defense was why they went on to play for the national championship. Number five, Breland Trice. Number four.
Okay.
Number four on paper, number one in Jane Salk's heart, Roger Rosengarten. Mm. Came on with us and early. I mean, he broke the glass ceiling. Like, you thought, no chance. We're never having a college kid at 7:30 in the morning. You kidding me? No, he came on and he destroyed it. He was talking awesome. In this cut in particular about one Ryan Grubb.
Yeah, I love the fluidity and the motion of it. You know, we were always kind of in the up-tempo, kind of fast-paced, kind of attack mindset offense. A lot of moving parts, like you guys probably seen, a lot of shifting, motioning, pre-snap. Just a lot of eye candy for defenses, a lot of different pitches that were shown. And it really just kept defenses on their heels. And when you get a Heisman-level quarterback back there slinging it to some crazy receivers, some special things can happen, to say the least.
He was so good with us. Talked a lot about his preparation. Fastest O-lineman in the draft, by the way, 4.92. Much to Troy Faltano's chagrin, but it was Roger Rosengarten. Roger, number four on my list. I've seen some mocks. San Francisco, late first round, 31. He's a guy whose stock has gone up and up and up. The Michigan game, about the only game he's played poorly in 28 as well. All-conference kind of guy. He's going to be a great pro. He's going to play 10-plus years. Roger Rosengarten, number four. Number three, maybe a surprise. Maybe a surprise to some.
Surprise, oh.
Maybe a surprise. I give a bronze medal to the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy.
Wow.
But number three on my list, Michael Penix.
That makes sense. I know why. I mean, when you look at the two who are going to go ahead of him, I think that makes some sense.
Was on Atlanta morning radio this morning, and I said, if you got together all of the Husky QBs from the 70s, and I'll throw Six Killer from the 60s. So you got Six Killer, you got Warren Moon, you got Steve Palour, you got Hugh Millen, you've got Chris Chandler, you got Kerry Conklin, you got Mark Brunell, you got Billy Joe Hobart, you got Damon Heward, you got yours truly, you have Marcus Tuiasosopo, you have Jake Locker, you have Cody Pickett. I mean, it goes on and on. Mm-hmm. You get 13, 14 of us together and say, okay, who throws the best ball? Throws the best ball. Out of all you guys, a lot of first-rounders on that list. A lot of guys played a lot of time. It's Super Bowl quarterback and Chris Chandler. Who throws the best football? Pure thrower of the football. And it's going to be a tie between Warren Moon and Michael Penix. That's the esteem that I hold him in, and I think my peers there in Huskyville would hold him in. An absolute just beauty to watch. And I had a guy the other day, actually, at Ty's baseball game. He's like, hey, man, I enjoy watching your football stuff. By the way, baseball guy, I loved your Penix to Pedro conversation. Hmm. You talked about his fingers and the dexterity and the strength of his grip and everything else and how he can create spin the way that he does, the way that Pedro used to do. Man, that was a fun little comp. I sure enjoyed that. And, man, did we love watching Michael Penix elevate this program. That's number three. Number two. Give me cut number 18, please. Troy Faltano.
I'll be back home. I got the invite to go to Detroit, but for me, it wasn't really attractive. Once I heard that you can't really bring, you know, I'm Polynesian, so they told me that I was limited to like 15 people. And I have like 15 people that like, yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not normal to only have 15 family members and have to pick between all of them. But
got a soft spot in my heart for Paulies, man. I love them. From Olin Krutz to so many that I played with through the years. Absolutely love their love for family. And football is a family team game. Troy Faltano, number two, coming down to it, thank God I had an extra minute. Number one is Roma Dunze. Why is he the number one receiver in this draft? In many people's opinion, including Michael Bumpus. Well, Salk, you were out, Goldie was in. We asked Rome that question. Here was his answer.
Yeah, I think I'm wide receiver one in this upcoming draft. You know, that's not a knock at any of the receivers in the draft, including those two. I think they're, you know, tremendously talented, tremendously skilled, but I can play outside. I can play inside. You know, I can contest the catch. I can create separation, you know, across the field. I can block. You know what I mean? I can come out of the backfield on a route. Like, for me, the versatility and the completion of my route tree and my receiver game as a whole is unmatched.
Unmatched. His character, unmatched. His play on the field, unmatched. His fourth down conversion from your own 28-yard line in the Apple Cup. The only reason he went to the national title game was because of that conversion, unmatched. And I just love him from the inside out, man. One of my favorite Huskies of all time. Going to play in this league. I've compared him to Larry Fitzgerald. I think he's in that kind of caliber, going to play a long, long time and make a place really, really happy.
All right, that's ranked for today, and we are done. Bump and Stacey are coming up next. I can't believe Stacey. I mean, just totally selling me out with this ridiculous tweet. Tomorrow is race day. It is draft day. We'll see if the Mariners can win a series tonight. A lot of reasons to tune in tomorrow morning, starting at 6 a.m. Until then, Brock the Hay.
Following the best ranked ever is in the bar.
See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!